But thank you very much, colleagues, for this. And of course, I wish to recognize everybody who played a key role towards the success of this event. You spoke about the VC this morning. I think we appreciate your presence and being there, and also the Deputy VC, Vice Chancellor for Transformation, Professor Ferris, who was with us at the beginning of this session. Yourself, Faisal, and your colleagues at the Nelson Mandela School of Public Governance, thank you very much. And my old friend, Russell Ali, who's the Executive Director and also running the alumni program and development alumni program at UCT. And then all the speakers and fellow colleagues, and I must also join you in thanking the two teams or the various teams that played a role in putting together this event. From our side, of course, you've mentioned colleagues from UCT. I wish to recognize also Lizzie, who was the team leader from our end, and my colleague Zakani. And then we had Karabo, we had the colleagues also from the IT team there, and we had Yoliswa and a few other colleagues who really worked hard towards the success. And really, I join you in thanking all of them, because you know, they put so much work, but when they we don't see them anywhere on the screens. So we really, they are disadvantaged by the fact that they are the secret behind the success of this event. They are their hand behind, they did all the good work, and we just performing for an orchestra, and that is being prepared by them, and also for we dancing a tune that was choreographed by them. So I think that we are very, very grateful. And like you, Faisal, I also want to take this opportunity to really appreciate the collaboration between UCT Convocation, the members of the alumni community of the UCT, and your school, the Mandela School of Public Governance, and the collaboration, of course, for us as APRM. We are very grateful, and we think that this is the second installment of what we started last year, which we hosted at the Baxter Theatre. We hope that this collaboration will continue into the future. And as you know, that the Africa Month is, it provides us with the opportunity really to celebrate the ideals of freedom, equality, justice, and dignity on our continent. And this, as you know, were and continue to be the bedrock of our organization, the African Union, building on the work of the Organization of African Unity. These are the values which, as you know, are preserved in the aspirations of our forward-looking African Union Agenda 2063. Over the past 3 days, we have commemorated Africa Day by sharing the lessons that we have learned and discussing the strategies and innovations emerging out of Africa in response to COVID-19 pandemic. And I will not want to go into the summary of the various sessions, because I think that we were well covered by my brother and friend Faisal in that regard. I just want to say, for me, there are the four takeaways that I think we can build on moving forward, even for the future. And as we look at issues coming out of these challenges that are associated with COVID-19. The first one is really that the success of our collaboration is one good example that should really encourage more and more collaboration between the higher education sector and the African Union. And in a way that encourages and helps the African Union to anchor our regional integration agenda on comparative experience, on, you could say, you know, if you are in the academic area, you could say it has to be evidence-based, that regional integration that is not just, which is of course very good declaratory, but also is grounded on a well-researched and solid body of knowledge that has been generated in the higher education sector. And I think what we've seen over the last few days of our symposium is how much knowledge is being generated out there that we need in the space of the African Union to assist the regional integration agenda that we are all part of. I think the issue for me of collaboration, the importance between the higher education sector and the African Union, is very, very, very important. And then the second takeaway for me is it's really about African innovation in the response. And you have given a good summary of the presentations we had and the examples that were referred to: Madagascar, Senegal, Ghana, Uganda, and so on. That many of these good innovation examples of innovation coming out of our continent needs to be highlighted, needs to be profiled, needs to be discussed, because knowledge is not neutral. Knowledge is not, knowledge is highly contested. As we know, it's highly contested, but also it's also about power. That we know, we use knowledge to frame a narrative about this pandemic, and tomorrow when you talk about it, and 100 years when you talk about this pandemic, we'll say there were, we'll refer to the body of knowledge that was produced about this knowledge, about this pandemic, and how different regions, how different countries reacted to this. And it's possible that if we don't talk more about what is coming out of Africa, what we are doing as Africans, that this story about how the world reacted to this pandemic could be written and spoken about without any reference or mention of our continent. So knowledge can be about exclusion and can as well be about inclusion. But we are the ones who must include ourselves. And then knowledge is about power, but we are the ones who must make sure that the knowledge that we have and we are generating on the continent, we position it in a way that is recognized and integrated in the global body of knowledge that is being generated in the world response to this pandemic. And we know the issue that's going to arise here, and we've spoken a little bit about it, is really the geopolitics around the pandemic, around the vaccine, because there are different views emerging in the world currently. There is a view that Africa, of course, is one of the champions for this view, that when we do discover this vaccine, and I'm sure it's not going to come from one source, there will be multiple sources, because there are quite a number of clinical trials happening at the moment, but I'm not aware of any happening in Africa, but I know there have been following quite a few. I see that in parts of Asia, Europe, in the United States, there are quite a number of clinical trials already happening, taking place to find a vaccine. That the question is, this vaccine, when we finally do discover it, is it going to be a public good or is it going to be something privatized to make somebody rich? And there are clearly two schools of thought. One that says this will belong to us exclusively as a nation. And then, of course, there's another view that says this is a public good. And I think the issues around innovation and knowledge, as I said, they are not new issues you could say, belong to the ivory tower and to armchair critics and those who are pontificating, but really are relevant to the current geopolitics that are unfolding around this pandemic. So this is really the second takeaway for me around innovation. The third one is the resilience of Africa itself. And when you think about the resilience of Africa in the face of this pandemic, you have to think about it in terms of three dimensions of time. One, the now, and then the tomorrow, and then the thirdly, the future. The now is really the issues that we're talking about, how the continent, what the continent needs to do to cope and to overcome this pandemic, to ensure that we prevailed. Now we are going to be reopening a little bit here in South Africa from next week. People are worried, what are we going to do? So the now issues are very, 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 very important. And there the roles, the state plays a role. Individuals, people, and the responsibility at the level of people, of individual, and of course the area of cooperation within regions and also cooperation globally. The now issues are very key, and you have referred to some of them with respect to trade and issues relating to the African free trade area. About the tomorrow is the picking up of the pieces. Once we are over this pandemic, tomorrow we wake up to the reality that the economies are gone, the airline industry has collapsed, tourism. So we really have to really be thinking as we are doing. And you mentioned a point that was raised by Mgabisi Jonas during his session, The tomorrow is very, very important, and the resilience issues about tomorrow are quite key. And really, how we're going to, what is it that we are going to be doing to pick up the pieces to ensure that our economies recover. And here the issue is going to be for us as a continent, our recovery strategy, is it going to be based on own resources, or is going to be a dependency, to be dependent on resources from elsewhere outside our continent. And it's an issue that is there. You mentioned it, Faisal, but for me, it's going to be a big issue. How Africa is going to, the strategy we have in place for tomorrow, for the picking up the pieces, for recovery, is the strategy going to be based on own resources, on African solutions, African abilities, African capacities, or we're going to be going around the world and asking for help, asking for money there, and so on. For me, it's an issue that I think it came out very strongly somehow in this discussion. But then the future. The future is about lessons learned from this experience. And as the APRM will be doing a lot of work on the in this area of the lessons learned and how to prepare Africa for the future, we're going to be beginning a project on state resilience and working, and we probably will even develop what we can call an architecture. And the question that's, of course, we're going to have to ask ourselves is the extent to which this pandemic will have reshaped or remapped the world, the world defined in geographic, physical geographic terms. And I don't see that happening. I don't see a new states emerging out of this pandemic. Of course, it's not the First World War, the Second World War, even the end of the Cold War, where afterwards we saw the creation and the emergence of new states out of the whatever geographic configuration existed before. So I don't see that happening. The remapping of global politics, the shift in global power politics, the shifts in the international jurisprudence relating to public health at the global level, and also the organizations, the global governance regime, you could say, institutionally, in the form of the WHO, I see that changing. I think the WHO is going to, there's already a debate there at the last General Assembly of the WHO, they were discussing, and I think that some of the decisions they have taken with respect to doing a conducting what they call an impartial investigation of this pandemic may come up with some recommendations which will impact the regime, the global governance regime around public health. So I see that happening, but I'm not sure to what extent will this extend to other spheres of global politics, like the geopolitics, the competition for global supremacy. I think that this is the pandemic did not cause it. The current competition is probably accelerating it and probably leading it in a different direction. But there will be a few streams institutionally within the public health domain, but also competition among and between certain countries for supremacy. That, I think, is going to happen, and the pandemic is already shaping it. And then the third one is, of course, the remapping of ideas. So are we going to see new ideas coming up? Are we going to experience a scientific revolution? I doubt, because the vaccine, we have to see whether it will be based on new technology, new discoveries, perhaps new in as far as understanding this virus, specifically this virus is concerned. But this virus is largely known. It's related to the 1918 flu influenza. It's related to SARS. It's related to NH1, and so it comes from that family of flu-related viruses, perhaps. But I'm not sure in politics. I'm not sure in other disciplines, in other sciences, whether there will be major scientific ideas coming out. But one thing that I think is likely to happen around the remaking of ideas is that people will now not assume that we are over epidemics. And I think that's something that led to the situation where there was an implicit assumption that we are over epidemics. The remaping of societies, the demographic impact, definitely there's going to be a demographic impact depending on how countries have have experienced this pandemics, the impact on the mapping of inequalities within countries, poverty, the ownership patterns within countries, and whether we could even see the emergence of new social, even political groups, or the transformation of existing ones. And then the issue around the remapping of the state, definitely, I think in terms of public policy, the impact is going to be quite massive. Governments had overlooked and were neglecting public health as a priority. They were focusing on the big issues of peace, development, climate change, and so on. And they thought that the public health issue file is closed, is done. We have medication, we have responses, the public health system can cope. Nothing like 1918 pandemic could happen. Now we know that there's going to be a major direction. And finally, the remapping of human behavior. Definitely that I see that happening. I'm already wearing mask, I'm doing my meetings from home. And then this could also impact popular culture. So really the 2020 Symposium on Africa's Innovation and Global Fight Against COVID was a timely event for us and an important moment in the history of our continent. Africa has to shape its own future and play its part in shaping future narrative and paradigm shift that will emerge out of COVID-19. This will require indeed multi-level approaches that ensure collaboration and learning between and among various stakeholders. Through this symposium, we shared innovative practices regarding responses by African countries to COVID-19 and proposed ways to improve implementation of our regional and global aspirations. And I've also, once again, I wish to thank UCT for this partnership and thank all the panelists and all of us who logged in to share our thoughts with everybody. And I must also thank the colleagues who played a key role that I recognized at the beginning of this session. I thank you for your attendance and look forward to collaborative work that will emerge from this symposium. Thank you very much.